food or drink would you find hardest if you were told that you had to give it up for the rest of your life? Okay. Bread. Okay. Cheese. Roast potatoes. Chocolate. Okay. And Nate, what would you have to say? Grass. I'm going to grass on you and say no, meat is what you would find. Chicken. I mean, I'll give a couple. I would find... Daniel, did you say? Chicken, that's what I thought. Okay. Right. I would find it hard to give up for the rest of my life really good mashed potato. Okay. Right. And really good apple juice. Just a couple of things that I really find special. We're continuing our series that we started at the beginning of May, and then we had the intervening 3 weeks or so where we were really focusing on the Holy Spirit for the last couple of weeks and Pentecost. But we are continuing our series now on wholehearted giving. And I finished last time, and as it happens, I'm doing the first two of these, and then others are going to be leading us for the rest, on money and possessions. And I'm just going to take up the final thoughts. And I think it's quite appropriate that we've had communion beforehand. The final thoughts that I left you with, specifically with regard to money and possessions, but was appropriate, is our giving should be sacrificial. And as we've been reflecting on communion this morning and Christ's ultimate sacrifice, it reflects God's sacrificial giving of Jesus for us. And I also finished with, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And that's just to click us back in to this series on wholehearted giving. And we're going to move on to a different area. And we're going to look today at wholehearted giving of body and mind. Wholehearted giving of body and mind. And for the next three sessions, and they're going to be successive Sundays, with, I believe, Amy next Sunday and Alison the Sunday afterwards, we're going to be looking at one chapter of Romans, Romans 12. So if you've got one of the church Bibles or your own Bible, and we would encourage you to have a physical copy rather than looking at your phone, but we're not going to sort of be the sort of hard copy police or whatever, but it's on page 785. And I get the easy gig. I'm only going to be focusing on the first two verses. And we're going to unpack these verses. Thank you. Yes, if anybody else wants a Bible, then do have one. Thank you, Cindy. So, Romans 12, just verses 1 and 2, where it's written, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The passage that we've just read started with the word therefore. And corny as it is, the question is, what is the therefore? Therefore. Okay. Well, it's not so much just the immediate previous verses. It's really the previous 11 chapters. I was talking with somebody who became a Christian quite recently, and he's reading through, slightly sort of haphazardly, bits of the Bible. And he told me that he'd been reading through Romans. I thought, wow, you're starting with a pretty toughie there. Because the first 11 chapters of Romans are really teachings of theological foundations. Those of you that know Romans will know that there's a lot of meaty theology in those first 11 chapters. And then he comes up, if you like, for air, and he says, therefore, he goes on in the rest of Romans to describe practical Christian living. And we're going to be unpacking that first chapter over the next 3 weeks. Descriptions of practical Christian living. So the therefore is, if you like, having got the theological foundation sorted, now spring off and practically put into practice what the implications and the logical follow-through in practice will be. And that's what we're going to be unpacking just the first two verses of chapter 12 today. So, let's just work our way through slowly these two verses. What's the motivation for our wholehearted giving? Whether it's what we looked at last time, money and possessions, body and mind this time, or the other topics that I'm not going to steal the thunder of, hopefully too much, in the next 2 weeks. What is the motivation for our wholehearted giving? Well, Paul writes, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. In view of what he has done in sending Christ to die on the cross for us, in order that we might know forgiveness, is the motivation. It should not, in many senses, be the motivation should not be just, well, God tells me to do it. It should be a response of thanksgiving for his mercy, what he has already done for us. And that's why it shouldn't be an onerous yoke. It should be a yoke of joy, of thanksgiving, of relationship. So the motivation for all of these wholehearted giving areas that we're going to be considering over these 4 weeks should be knowing God's mercy and what that means for us. And it's so appropriate that we have celebrated communion this morning in the light of that. But what does he say in this section we ought to be wholeheartedly giving? Well, what we see, God's mercy in sending his son Jesus to die in our place, the one sacrifice for all. That should be our motivation. But then he goes on to say, what is the wholehearted giving described here? First of all, in verse 1, he says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Living sacrifice. Why does he use that word living sacrifice? Because that echoes back to the fact that Old Testament times, there were basically dead sacrifices. Something was killed in our place. But it's saying that we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. So what does it mean to offer our body as a living sacrifice? Well, it's actively, that's why it's got that word living, actively dedicating your entire day-to-day existence to God's purposes. Reread that, actively dedicating my entire day-to-day existence for God's purposes. This is our spiritual worship, it says. Meaning worship is not just a Sunday activity, us coming together, but a lifestyle of obedience. So what does it mean to offer our body as a living sacrifice? Well, it means submitting to God's purposes in how we use our bodies in such areas as work and vocation. I use work in its widest sense. Yes, it can be paid work, but it could be voluntary work. It could be other work and vocation, but it can be work around the home. It can be work in the community. But we are submitting to God's purposes in saying, my body is a living sacrifice to be used for your purposes in my workplace, whatever that is, and anywhere that you have called me as a vocation to be. In our habits, our body is to be a living sacrifice. God has given us our body to be a temple for the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. But we need to think about the habits. Habits about what we put into our body. And think, are we actually treating it as something that is God made to be submitted to God's purposes? Are we giving our bodies as living sacrifices as we serve community? Are you willing to give your energy and time to serving community? In our relationships, are we actually saying, God, I'm a living sacrifice in the area of relationships? And finally, and we could think of others, also in the area of sex. We could probably think of other areas, but the challenge is, are we submitting to God's purposes, our bodies, in how we use them? That he would be glorified, yes, but it is an act of thanksgiving in view of his mercy. As Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Are we able to echo those thoughts, those writings of Paul? And I thought it would be good just to pause at this stage, because Paul says, this is your true and proper worship, and just have a time of quiet, and for us just reflect on what we've just been hearing about wholehearted giving of our bodies, and just afresh to commit. But before we do so, I just want to remind you that this should not be something that we're just trying to will up in ourselves. If we do, it's actually destined to quite probably be very sketchy and quite possibly, in inverted commas, fail. It's quite appropriate that we have had the last 2 weeks considering the Holy Spirit. Because what I believe is that God is saying to us, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to offer our bodies as living sacrifice. If it's a willing up, because it's human will, it's going to bluntly fail at some point. If we are saying, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, please enable me to offer my life as a living sacrifice, and because of who the Holy Spirit is, God will enable us to make significant steps in doing so. So let's just take a moment to be quiet, and we're just focusing on that section saying, Lord, I'm going to offer my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. Amen. Paul goes on in verse 2 and starts verse 2 by saying, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Both in how we use our bodies and what we're going to be moving on to in a moment, our minds. So what is that saying? Wholehearted giving of our bodies and minds should make, that should read, Christians different. If we're honest, we face constant cultural pressure to adopt the values, the behaviours and priorities of our surrounding society. Now, the danger is to say that every single thing is wrong. That's not true. We can recognise that. But there are pressures for us to adopt certain aspects, certain things that are not godly, that are not good and true and honourable. Are we prepared to be the one that goes against the flow when it is right to do so? Paul is challenging us to evaluate our habits, our media choices, our ambitions against God's word rather than society's standards. And I just wonder, are we up for that challenge? Or are we saying, no, that's going to be too much like hard work? God didn't say it was going to be easy to be light. He said that it's going to be a challenge, but it will be fulfilling. It will be exciting. But the challenge is, are we going to be moulded to the ways of this world? Or are we going to be moulded by his kingdom? And then we move on to wholehearted giving of mind. Because he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. What does wholehearted giving of our mind look like? It involves a complete internal shift, retraining how we think, replacing worldly perspectives with God's truth. In Colossians 3, verse 2, we read that we're encouraged to set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And again, in another of his letters, Paul instructs the Philippians and us in Philippians 4 verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And as I was just praying through this, I was challenged, and possibly a lot of us were challenged, how should this affect my use of media and technology? Are the things that I'm being encouraged to think about really all those adjectives that are in Philippians 4:8? And if I'm honest, possibly, quite possibly not at times. So what does wholehearted submitting of our mind look like? Well, I mean, submitting to God's purposes in how we use our mind, and it should affect our perspectives and beliefs. If we are allowing the Spirit to renew our mind, it should affect our perspectives and beliefs. I wonder whether that's an area that individuals need to consider. But it should affect our behaviour, our speech and actions. What we're thinking should affect our speech and actions. And also, I believe, our emotions and desires. Submitting to God's Holy Spirit and seeking, transforming, renewing of our mind can have all of these impacts. What does wholehearted giving of our mind look like? The renewing of our mind should demonstrate the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's one of the things I've deliberately been echoing throughout. And it should be bringing forth that fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance. Sometimes patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I was just sort of Googling, trying to find one or two little illustrations of analogies, illustrations of giving, wholehearted giving of our mind and our body. And I'll just share a couple with you, two or three with you. First one is a slightly sweet story about probably in Victorian times, I haven't Googled as to when, during a missionary meeting in a small Scottish church, the offering plate was passed round. A poor boy, who was called Wee Robbie, asked the usher, the steward, to place the empty plate on the floor. Stepping into the centre of the wooden plate with his bare feet, he declared, "I'll give myself. I have nothing else to give." He went on to become Robert Moffat, a pioneer missionary who dedicated his entire physical life to serving the people of Africa. Childlike faith of offering his body and the long-term impact that had. Second one, a woman once asked her pastor, teacher, whatever, what it practically meant to be a living sacrifice. Without saying a word, they held out a completely blank sheet of paper. He handed it to her and explained, "It is to sign your name at the bottom of this blank sheet and let God fill it as he wills." Just illustrating the daily choice to lay our agenda, our career, our comfort, our life and body on the altar of sacrifice, reflecting that Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice for us. Paul finishes with, "Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So what is the ultimate result of a renewed mind? What happens if we should read our wholehearted and our giving of it's copied and pasted, danger, our mind and body, especially our mind. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, in your body, your mind, your heart, and he will make your paths straight. That is what Paul said. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will for you is in your life. His good, his pleasing, and perfect will. And my desire is for each one of us to leave here knowing that as we, if we are prepared to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, submit our lives, our bodies, and our minds to him, he will reveal what his purpose and his ways are for us. And that excites me, and I hope it excites you. And as Liz said earlier on, if it's the case, going back, that you have not yet made a commitment, can I encourage you? Do so, because he promises to give this to all those who believe and put their trust in him. Let's just finish again with another just short time of quiet, and then I'll round up. But let's come prepared to offer our bodies and have our minds renewed in wholehearted giving. Father, thank you that you've been reminding us over the last couple of weeks that you haven't left us alone to try and do this wholehearted giving in our own strength. We don't just have to be strong. Thank you, Father, that you have given us the Holy Spirit to empower us, to lay down our lives in living sacrifice for you in thanksgiving because of what you've done. And thank you, Lord, that you have given your Holy Spirit to transform and renew our minds so that we can think a new way, a way that is your way, and that you promise, Lord, to reveal your paths for us and your will for us that is good, pleasing, and perfect. And we want to grab hold of that promise, Lord, and say, yes, please, Lord, for your glory. Amen.